This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending the 14th of November 2025. Hello and welcome to the Winchester Talking Newspaper with extracts from the Hampshire Chronicle dated the 13th of November 2025. Your readers today are Tony Bergstrom.
Hello.
John Richards.
Hello.
And Jane Rutter.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter, John Parker. The main headlines this week are City Remembers Fallen in Service and Silence, Actor Hugh is Back to School, and businesses booming in bustling city. So we start off with the story behind the first headline.
Right, the city remembers the fallen. Crowds attended Armistice Day, Winchester, to take part in a 2-minute silence followed by a service, of remembrance. The 11 a.m. service outside the Guildhall, welcomed the mayor, councillors, military leaders and soldiers from Winchester Army Training Regiment, the Royal British Legion and a contingent of students from Winchester College Combined Cadet Force. Dozens of passers-by also stopped to pay their respects and watch the service led by Padre Graham Topping, the Royal British Legion. Sergeant Subah Mokhtan Tamming of the Army Training Regiment, Sir John Moore Barracks, said, "We are not only remembering those who lost their lives, but all the conflicts that have been happening and continue to happen. It's a big day." Wife of Sergeant Mullen Tanging, Claire, said, "I'm ex-service forces, and so it's really important to honour those we have lost, as well as those who are serving, like my husband and the chaps here that are our future." Mayor of Winchester, Councillor Sudan Akhwal, said, "It's a day we must remember for those who've fallen for our future." Mayor Doris Sangwalski, Winchester College CCE, said, "On this day, I think of my grandfather from Poland, who fought during the Second World War and was put in a prison camp, as well as my grandmother, who was only young." High Sheriff of Hampshire, Sue Elton, said, "I've noticed recently that people are behind this more than ever. These events provide a sense of a sense of security. The event followed those held on Remembrance Sunday, which saw hundreds gather in Winchester Cathedral to commemorate all those who lost their lives in war. Armistice Day is a commemorative to mark the armistice signed between the Allies of World War I and Germany. This agreement took effect on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month."
There'll be a later item about the Remembrance Day Sunday events in the cathedral.
Actor Hugh is back to school. A Winchester Primary School's library has been reopened by Hugh Bonville after a £10,000 refurbishment. Mr. Bonville, best known for his roles in Downton Abbey and the Paddington films, opened the library at Harestock Primary School on Tuesday, November the 11th. Amy Deer, the school's head teacher, said, "Our previous library was looking very dated and we wanted to provide something that was a bit more exciting to the children. We wanted to have something that would provide greater enjoyment for the children's reading. We wanted to create a cosy place for them to go with their books. We are delighted that Hugh has come to open the library. The actor was given a tour of the school by Mrs. Deer before giving an assembly to the school. At the assembly, Mr. Bonville spoke with the pupils about his childhood and the inspirations for his new book, Rory Sparks and the Elephant in the Room, reading an extract for the children. He also answered questions from the pupils about his experiences filming the Paddington films and writing his book. The assembly ended with Mr. Bonville being presented with a birthday cake to celebrate his birthday on November the 10th and a card signed by all the pupils. Mr. Bonville then cut the ribbon on the new library before meeting with pupils and signing their books. Mr. Bonville said, "It's a real privilege to come along to this school and open the library. We are going into what I believe is called the year of reading. Reading is down a third in young people. The world of books is a way to meet new friends and open your imagination. We know why reading is down, but we all need to encourage children to read more and learn."
Business is booming in bustling city. Against a backdrop of nationwide uncertainty, Winchester is defying the odds with falling empty shop numbers and increasing profits. The newest business barometer report, published by Winchester BID at the end of October, shows the city has an extremely low vacancy rate compared to the national picture. The news has been welcomed by the city's MP, Danny Chambers. He said, "It's a testament to the community and city leadership that we've been able to create a vibrant local economy despite challenging circumstances." The latest statistics show the restaurant and hospital property vacancy rates in the High Street stand at just 2.3%, falling from 4.7% at the start of the year, the lowest level since January 2020. In the city centre area, which includes the Brooks Shopping Centre, Parchment Street and the Square, the vacancy rate is a bit higher at 5.7%, but the Winchester numbers are much lower than the national High Street vacancy figures of 13.2%. City centre restaurant and hospitality businesses reported a median increase of 5% in their sales compared with the same period in 2024. The report attributes the success to new arrivals in the city. A number of cafes and restaurants opened. The Brooks Shopping Centre welcomed new pop-up shops. Asset manager for the Brooks Shopping Centre said, "Thanks to a lot of hard work, the Brooks will be fully let again this Christmas. And whilst tenant demand, footfall and sales remain better in Winchester than in many other towns and cities in the region, this fortunate and increasingly rare situation cannot be taken for granted." The Central Winchester Regeneration, also known as Silver Hill, has been in the works since 2016. This year, the project took a major step forward when Winchester City Council approved its developmental delivery plan. Despite the successes, the BID report does acknowledge that nearly half of restaurant and hospitality businesses have experienced cash flow problems. Danny Chambers MP added, "We must not be complacent because we know small businesses are facing rising costs and higher taxes. As we look ahead to the budget, I'll be reaching out to small businesses to learn from their successes and bring their voice to Parliament so we can demonstrate to this government how you really grow the economy."
That concludes the headline stories, and we continue with the death announcements. Brickwood, John Albert Brickwood, at Westacre Care Home on the 2nd of November, aged 95. Culhane, Elizabeth Ann Culhane, at home on the 19th of October. Gibson, Alan Hayden Gibson, on the 4th of November, aged 90. Nell, Robert Nell, known as Bob, at home on the 29th of October, aged 85. Milner, Bryant James Milner, at Winchester Hospice on the 17th of October, aged 95. New, Stanley Terence Alfred New, known as Terry, at the Chandler's Ford Care Home on the 2nd of November, aged 87. Smith, Mildred Smith, known as Pam, at Techfield House Care Home on the 2nd of November, aged 94. Swain, Helen Chu Swain, at home on the 24th of October. Walsh, Elizabeth Hazel Walsh, on the 17th of October, aged 93. And now we have Christian comment.
And this is from Nigel Hemming, entitled The Reality of Constantly Returning. In Luke 15, the prodigal son brought shame and dishonour on his family, and yet his lowest point, he still had the guts to admit his mistake and return home. His long-awaiting father wouldn't hear of his bad behaviour and instead lavished love and forgiveness that was remarkably undeserved. Jesus said that this was what God is like. Although less dramatic, I regularly experience times when I feel that if I have wandered away from God, often I failed to make time to simply sit quietly and be with him. Or it might be that I'm ashamed of my thoughts or actions since last time we hung out. My own children know they are always welcome home, even if they are in trouble. In the same way, I know that I'm always welcome home with God. I don't take his mercy for granted, but I try to approach in humble reality. I don't beat myself up for my mistakes, but I remain thankful for the consistent grace and kindness of the Father that the Father extends to me. I wrote this poem recently to try and capture my feelings, and I share this here in the hope that it brings encouragement to others. How I wish that I felt all was well with my soul all the time. How I wish that I lived in a permanent place of tranquility. How I wish I could adequately deal with the ups and downs of my journey without striving or doubting, anxiety or fear. How I wish that my heart could stay soft in the pressure of business. How I wish I could always just be the most mature person in the room. Oh, how I wish I didn't wander off down my lanes of insecurity and abandonment, forgetting to draw near, deliberately staying away, remaining in mild isolation. Somehow convincing myself that God doesn't actually need my company, or that he doesn't already know or doesn't already care, and certainly not imagining how he longs for me to come back, to come close, to come home. And yet the reality is always so far from how I ever imagined. And my cautious returning is always met with generous love and kindness, patience and grace. And all it really ever takes is for me just to be still. A small but important act of the will. To turn off the tune in thankfulness and humility. To bring who I am, as I am, in this moment and embrace. And embrace the one who embraces me in my weakness and my woundedness and my brokenness. To resolve the burning questions, to re-establish truthfulness and remember who I am once again. To experience the peace in my soul and the deep satisfaction that God doesn't need me to need him, but loves and delights in me all the same. To wonder just briefly why I ever even wandered away, why I didn't just wander back sooner, and then to be ready to wander back into the world once again. And that is from Nigel Henning, who's the senior pastor at Winchester Vineyard Church.
Next, we have the letters to the editor of the Hampshire Chronicle. If you yourself would like to send a letter to the Hampshire Chronicle, you can do so by either telephoning 01962 860836, that's 01962 860 836, emailing letters@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, that's letters@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, or writing to the editor at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL, that's 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. We have 10 letters this week on a variety of subjects,
and this first one is entitled excuse me, Men Are Needed. It's from Tina Richards, who is the founder of Across the Table, Winchester. A few months ago, the Hampshire Chronicle kindly featured my new venture, Across the Table, a singles supper club designed to bring people together over good food, wine and conversation. The response was fantastic, with every event since then selling out and the feedback overwhelmingly positive. Guests have described the evenings as brilliant, relaxed and beautifully organised. And better still, a number of genuine connections and first dates have come out of them, which of course is exactly what I'd hoped for when I started this. However, as Across the Table grows, we've reached a bit of a crossroads. Quite simply, there just aren't enough men booking in. The women of Winchester and beyond have been wonderfully supportive, but without a better gender balance, it becomes impossible to keep the format running as it should. So I'm putting out a friendly challenge. From now on, every woman who registers will only be guaranteed a place if she can introduce a single man to the club. It could be a brother, a colleague, a neighbour, a friend, anyone kind, genuine and open-minded, who might enjoy an evening of good company. It might sound like an unusual request, but Across the Table has shown how much people value real, face-to-face connection in today's swipe-left world. If each guest brings one single man into the mix, we can keep creating these lovely balanced evenings. And who knows what sparks might fly next. Our next supper is Friday, November the 14th, with 40 guests in their 50s, followed by another on Tuesday, December the 16th, for those in their 40s, both held at Brasserie Blanc in Winchester. To find out more, visit acrossthetable.co.uk, I'll say that again, www.acrossthetable.co.uk, or you can email acrossthetable.connect@gmail.com. That's acrossthetable.connect@gmail.com. Because sometimes all it takes is one dinner and one introduction to change everything. That's from Tina Richards, founder of Across the Table, Winchester.
This letter is entitled Ignoring the New Road Markings, and it is attached to a very large and very boring photograph, which I have to describe to you, which is taken of the road outside Sainsbury's in Winchester, where a double row of large white road markings have been painted. There's also a puddle and a few leaves, and that's about it, I'm afraid. So, the letter says, and it's from Richard Gibson, I was pleased to see these new give-way markings appear beside Sainsbury's in town, as the traffic can be difficult for pedestrians there. However, buses seem to take no notice of them, and yesterday a police car, not on an emergency call, also ignored them. Unless drivers give way as they are supposed to do, the white lines have made the crossing more dangerous. And that letter was from Richard Gibson in North Wales, Winchester.
And this is called Hearing Issues, and it's from Philip Wakeman. On Sunday, November the 9th, my partner and I visited Winchester to observe the ceremony of remembrance at the cathedral grounds. It's always immensely proud to witness the many members of our armed forces, both current and the veterans. We were very disappointed by the quality of the broadcast from inside the cathedral. Like many, we stood outside but found it difficult to hear both the service and the hymns. The readings were hard to hear, and particularly the national anthem, which was hardly discernible instead of loud and proud. Also, might it be a good idea to have an armed forces band to play appropriate music during the ceremony, as with the National Service of Remembrances? Of course, not only such a grand scale, but with Winchester's proud history with the Army, might the Royal Green Jackets band be a perfect accompaniment. It was, though, a moving ceremony and a special moment of reflection. And that was from Philip Wakeman, Mears Road, Faroe Eastleigh.
Law and Disorder is the title of this letter, which has been submitted anonymously. It is a year since you ran this story, and there's been no improvement. In fact, it's got worse. I saw two police officers wearing flat hats rather than the custodian helmets. Why? Walking in Winchester on Saturday last and this Monday. This will no doubt be due to the recent stabbings on the train in order to reassure the general public. Why are there no police walking the high street in Winchester as a normal way of working? There is quite a large group now who are stealing in Winchester with no deterrent whatsoever. I witnessed it only last week, where two of the males went into the rear of Boots and came out with lots of boxes of Boss aftershave and then casually rode off on their bikes. I spoke to the staff, who said they are regulars and there's no point calling the police as they don't attend for anything less than £200. You can therefore walk into any shop in Winchester and steal without any fear of consequences. It's not enough to say we should be feeling sorry for these people, as the local councillor implies. The primary role of the police is the protection of life and property, and they are not doing this. I have just been into Winchester, and the group are currently behind the main high street in the cathedral grounds. Individuals like myself can't change things because we're fobbed off by the police, who blame cutbacks, etc. When I complained to them a few years ago about the number of rough sleepers obstructing the high street, obstructing the highway, of course, is an offence, I was told it was very difficult, as when they were taken to court, the courts couldn't do much. The police are there to enforce the law, not decide when to do so. In short, the Commissioner of Police works in Winchester, so must see this if she bothers to walk in the high street. Hampshire County Council say it's complicated and are working on it, but have done diddly squat about it over the last year. We do not see police officers era, what that means, regular officers with the power of arrest in Winchester, just the occasional PCSO and Winchester wardens. I believe it requires a concerted effort by a newspaper like yourself in order to hold both HCC and Hampshire Constabulary to account. Winchester remains a beautiful city, but positive reaction needs taking to prevent these individuals from ruining it. And as I said, the name address supplied, but not printed here.
This letter from Carol Geddes is entitled Crossing. Should Joe Espiner wish to dice with death in an area more built up than Abbots Barton, I can highly recommend the zebra crossing on St Cross Road, near its junctions with Cannon Street and St James's Lane, Chronicle, October 30. Opportunities for appearing invisible to vehicles travelling in either direction abound in all weathers, traffic conditions, and throughout the seasons, morning, noon and night. For reasons I've yet to fathom, many drivers seem totally oblivious to this crossing's existence and make no attempt to slow down, let alone stop. Pedestrians seldom do enough to make themselves visible to motorists in the dark, but sporting bright colours on a sunny summer's morning is no more a guarantee of being noticed when wanting to cross. The season of drivers glued to sat-navs in a bid to park right next to the Christmas market will soon be upon us, together with significantly more pedestrians in and around the narrow streets served by this most perilous of zebras. We can but hope that their twinkly lights experience will include new bulbs for the defunct Felicia beacon on the western side of the cross, reported to Hampshire County Council and currently with their third-party contractor for assessment. And that letter from Carol Geddes of Cannon Street in Manchester.
And this is a letter from Simon Lever, and he entitles it Celery Shocker. Six filler sellers are being offered to help accelerate a devolution plan, whatever that is. The fact that anyone, especially paid by taxpayers, can work from home 2 days a week is outrageous. I strongly suggest that these planned appointments be investigated. Such salaries for public servants is beyond belief, and a five-day week should be mandatory. I have an impression that only the public sector would provide such salaries and glorious pensions. Simon Lever, Juniper Close, Badger Farm.
This letter is about the beautiful game, and it's from Mark Rowe. As you know, and your readers also know, I write to you about Winchester City Football Club. Last Saturday was truly fantastic, as, like all football fans, I love the beautiful game at Winchester City Football Club. The club is a truly caring one at the heart of Winchester that welcomes everyone of all backgrounds. They have especially helped me with my mental health and to socialise. On Saturday, I saw Winchester, in my view, their best game I have seen there. At half-time, they were winning 3-0. No, we didn't say that, that's tennis. 3-0. 3-3. Sorry. At half-time, they were winning 3-0. Then Falmouth came back with 2 goals. In the 96th minute of extra time, Callum Buckley scored to settle the game with a fantastic goal. I was even blessed to have a photo with him after the match. I urge anyone, football fan or new to football, to come along to a match and experience a truly caring club that is planning for the future whilst maintaining traditions. The next home game is Saturday, November the 15th, at home to Exmouth Town. If you come along, you'll see how your fans and our fans of both sides mix together to watch the beautiful game and enjoy making friends and more. That's from Mark Rowe, Taplin's Close, Week, Winchester.
This letter will have an editor's comment at the end. And it's entitled Bin Off This Idea, and it's from G.M. Barrett. How on earth can the councils continue to state they need to save thousands of pounds when they bring in another ridiculous collection service? Costing must be hundreds of thousands of pounds when transport for the disabled is being removed. As a keen gardener, cooked foods and bread do not come down. And that's from G.M. Barrett of Nicholson Place in Oldsford. If I could just respectfully, as an editor's note, I'll urge our correspondent to reread the leaflet which came with his food waste bin. Not everyone has the facilities to compost, and the waste all goes into a biodigester, it's not composted. The gas that comes from it goes into the national supply, and all the digestate goes onto farmers' fields, so there's nothing left. And the cost is actually covered by central government.
And this is a letter from John Seeger Green, and he entitles it, Not Delivering. One is accustomed, regrettably, to incompetence, lack of care, attention and service from the post office. But one has good reason to believe that the epitome of disservice has been achieved with the closing for some 3 to 4 weeks so far of pillar post boxes, while some new technology, will it work and all be reliable, is installed by removing their doors, thereby rendering them useless. It can only be incompetence or total disregard for the public that has permitted this to happen, for it would not have been beyond the wits of man to have the replacement doors to hand before removing the old doors so that a service to the public could have been maintained. This is by no means the fault of the postmen who deliver and collect mail in all weathers throughout the year in Winchester and mostly wearing shorts, which is another story, but of incompetence. Couldn't care less management, which hides away from view. And that's from John Seeger Green, the Hospital of St. Cross, Winchester.
This letter's entitled Do Daily Dash, and it's from Jackie and Mark Smith, founders of the December Daily Dash and Sue Ryder fundraisers. We're encouraging the local community to take on Sue Ryder's December Daily Dash, a fundraising event my husband and I created in memory of my dad and in gratitude to the incredible Sue Ryder nurses who cared for him in his final days. We lost my dad to cancer in 2015, just 18 months after we lost my mum to the same illness. During this difficult time, the Sue Ryder team went above and beyond, from bringing him a comforting hot chocolate before bed to ensuring he felt dignified and cared for in every moment. Their care made an unbearable time just that little bit more manageable, and we wanted to give something back. That's how the December Daily Dash was born. The challenge is simple. Either walk, jog or run 1 kilometre, 3 kilometres or 5 kilometres every day throughout December. It's a chance to take time for yourself and boost your well-being. Plus, the money you raise will provide nursing care for people with a terminal illness, just like my dad, and also provide free bereavement support for people this Christmas. What began with just the two of us and 11 friends has grown into a community of over 3,800 dashers. Over the past 10 years, dashers have covered thousands of kilometres and raised over £650,000 to support Sue Ryder's work. This year, we'd love even more people to join us. Whether you dash outdoors or on a treadmill, solo or with friends, family, or with your dog, you'll be part of a community making sure no one has to face death or grief alone this Christmas. To sign up for free, visit DecemberDailyDash, that's all one word, DecemberDailyDash.com. On behalf of us and Sue Ryder, thank you. That's from Jackie and Mark Smith, founders of the December Daily Dash and Sue Ryder fundraisers.
That concludes the letters. Next, we have the Hampshire Chronicle editorial comment, and that will be followed by First Person.
This week's Chronicle editorial comment is entitled, "Wines Never Forget the Sacrifices." Last Sunday, as the nation paused for 2 minutes of silence, we were reminded of a debt that could never truly be repaid. Remembrance Sunday and Armistice Day were not mere dates on a calendar. They were solemn markers of sacrifice, courage and unity. They called us to reflect on the millions who laid down their lives so that we might live in freedom. In Winchester, hundreds gathered at the cathedral to pay their respects. A powerful reminder that remembrance is not just tradition, but a living act of gratitude. Across Hampshire, communities came together to honour those who served and those who continue to serve. In an age of constant distraction, it had been easy to let history fade into the background, but forgetting was dangerous. The peace we enjoyed had been hard won, purchased at unimaginable cost on the battlefields of 2 world wars and countless conflicts since. These commemorations were never about glorifying war. They were about honouring those who endured its horrors so that future generations could know peace. Yet even as we remembered, wars continued to rage across the world. Men and women are still fighting, still risking everything in the name of duty and protection. Our silence was for them too, for every soldier in harm's way, for every family waiting for news, for every life torn apart by conflict. The poppy, simple yet powerful, was more than a symbol, it was a promise. A promise that we would remember. A promise that we would stand with veterans and serving personnel, offering support not just in words, but in action. From attending local services to donating to the Royal British Legion, every gesture mattered. As we bowed our heads, we did so with gratitude and resolve. Gratitude for those who served, resolve to ensure their sacrifices, past and present, are never forgotten. In remembering, we strengthened the bonds of community and reaffirmed the values that defined us: courage, compassion, and hope.
And this is entitled, "Can It Get Much Worse?" And it's by George Hayter. Could Donald Trump become one of the most influential people in history? His astonishing interventions in American and world affairs are becoming more extraordinary. First, let's look at other past and present leaders competing for the place among history's top 10 influences. I asked a co-pilot AI who it thought were the 10 most important people ever, and on its list included Jesus, Muhammad, Buddha, and Confucius. I hadn't thought of them, but as they have guided millions of followers for centuries, these spiritual leaders may well have had more lasting influence than any other people. So I put them in my top 10. A co-pilot and other candidates for top 10 influences included Isaac Newton and Albert Einstein. I'm not putting them in my list. I think what Newton and Einstein discovered about the universe would have been discovered soon by others. Co-pilot suggests that fiction writer William Shakespeare and ideas artist Leonardo da Vinci are also top 10 material. I disagree. Their clever plays and wonderful images may still be admired centuries later, but I doubt they changed much. Aren't the arts more entertainment than influence? Mahatma Gandhi is an AI suggestion I agree with. The humble Indian lawyer led non-violent resistance to effectively win his country independence from Britain in 1947. That feat inspired countless campaigners worldwide to trust in peaceful protest. Next in my top 10 is a violent conqueror from Greece 23 centuries ago, Alexander the Great, shrank the world by opening up vast lands in international trade and cultural stimuli. In just 8 years of battling, he assembled one of history's biggest empires, stretching from Egypt to India. Next in my list is a big statue in Winchester, Alfred the Great, boosted literacy in his Wessex kingdom. And I can just about justify our local boy's place in my list because literate Wessex nurtured English, the language ruling global communication. I harbour a gloomy suspicion that major worldwide shapers tend to be not impressively people who make things worse. Admittedly, history is populated by lots of benign world changers who each make a little improvement or two, but my view is that regularly the good of the majority is undone by occasional very influential bad ones. The world is a story of spasmodic social and technological improvement, repeatedly set back by the occasional monster. Such was Adolf Hitler, the cruel conqueror and genocide commander who caused the world's biggest ever conflict, World War II, killed so many million people and set the stage for the nuclear confrontation and Middle East mayhem. Attila the Hun was another influential monster. He spread chaos in Europe, 16 centuries ago, building an empire that has hastened the collapse of Rome. Attila used terror raids to have been cities, to have burned cities and massacre populations. Could Donald Trump be another civilization damager? I know he hasn't burned any cities, not yet, but critics might say his support for Netanyahu enabled Israel to maintain attacks, killing tens of thousands of people in Gaza. Neither has Trump invaded anywhere yet, but he has threatened Canada and Greenland, and he encourages Putin to carry out invading Ukraine. Trump extreme policies have divided the people of his own century, and his unpredictable extreme policies have divided the people of his own country, and his unpredictable behavior has disestablished the world. America's rule as the leader of free nations is undermined partly by his dodging of democracy at home. He tried to overturn the result of a democratic election. He pressures weakened parliamentary and is ultimately politically opponent. TV comedians who joke about him fear the worst and fear the sad. His revenge appetite is a terrible example for weaker democracies. Here, having seen the American president's unpredictability with tariffs and nationalist leaders from India and Zimbabwe are looking to align themselves instead with authorities of Russia, China, and even North Korea. This president is influencing the world badly, and anxiously we await to see how much worse his behavior can become.
Now some what's on items. From Friday the 14th of November to Saturday the 22nd of November, at the Chesil Theatre, they're presenting a production of The Resistible Rise of Arturo Ui by Bertolt Brecht, a satire on Hitler's rise to power set in the 1930s Chicago. From Saturday the 15th of November to Wednesday the 4th of February, so plenty of time, at the Arc, there will be an exhibition of the art of William Morris and family. On Friday the 21st of November is the opening of the Winchester Cathedral Christmas Market. And also on Friday the 21st of November at Winchester Cathedral, in the evening there will be a performance of Vivaldi's Four Seasons by the Piccadilly Sinfonietta. On Monday, the 24th of November, is the Winchester Cathedral Lantern Parade, starting at 5:30. On Thursday, the 27th of November, to Sunday, the 30th of November, at the Chesil Theatre, there's a production of Shirley Valentine by Willie Russell, about a middle-aged, disillusioned English housewife who finds adventure in Greece. Saturday the 29th of November to the Tuesday the 23rd of December, in the Great Hall, there will be a Santa's Grotto. From Saturday the 29th of November to Sunday the 4th of February, at the Theatre Royal, will be the annual pantomime, which this year is Puss in Boots. And on Thursday the 11th of December, at St Peter's Catholic Church at 7:30, there will be a carol concert by the Adoremus Singers in aid of Winchester Samaritans.
Can I just add that on the 6th of December, in the cathedral in the evening, the Wainfleet Singers are performing Handel's Messiah. And whilst all the tickets in the nave have been sold, there are still some tickets in the Messiah.
Thank you, Patrick. That wasn't on my... I didn't come across that in my trawl through what's on.
Very important to me.
Okay, sunrise at the moment, it was this morning, today is just before 7:30 a.m. and sunset is just before 4:30 in the afternoon. If you know someone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have a problem with the recording you have received from us, please contact us on 01962 861229, that's 01962 861229, and this number can also be found on the key fob attached to the member's stick. We now continue with further items of news.
Tree all set for switch on event. A huge Christmas tree has arrived in the city centre, ready for the Christmas light switch-on event. Early on Monday, the tree arrived and was installed just outside NatWest Bank and the Ivy. Sarah Davis, Winchester BID manager, said, "As ever, we are delighted to be able to arrange the installation of the Christmas tree on Winchester High Street. This year, the tree is over 40 feet tall and possibly the biggest ever. Thank you to the businesses which have sponsored this year's tree: Remedy Health, the University of Winchester, the Ivy, Winchester, Schmidt Kitchens, Little Dog Construction, Trinity Bridge, Trethowans, Theatre Royal, Play to the Crowd, the Walcote Practice, and Pilgrim's School. The tree is now in place, and the Christmas light switch on was on Thursday." And there's a photograph here, which is almost really quite alarming, actually, to see the height of the tree. It looks taller than some of the buildings surrounding it.
Trust announces 5 festive experiences. The National Trust has announced 5 Christmas experiences in and around Hampshire. These events will begin on Saturday, November the 15th, and offer a variety of festive activities, including fairy tales and pantomimes brought to life, festive shopping and seasonal treats. Each location will feature a unique experience, including family games and photo opportunities. At Modisfont, visitors can explore the Ugly Sisters dressing room, check out their Tinder profiles and take photos from Cinderella's carriage. The house will be transformed with glittering ball gowns, lost slippers and seasonal sparkle. Activities will also be available outside, including themed games and interactive stations. A Cinderella Christmas runs from November the 22nd to January the 4th. Hinton Ampner will showcase favourite pantomimes like Jack and the Beanstalk, Aladdin and Snow White, complete with professional light effects and sound. Children can find missing theatre props and enjoy festive games and activities, while Santa's Sweet Shop will offer traditional sweets. A pantomime Christmas at Hinton Ampner runs from November the 15th to January the 4th. The Vine will host a journey through 8 favourite fairy tales, with rooms illuminated by twinkling trees and atmospheric lighting. Visitors can explore the Snow Queen's icy realm, spot Little Red Riding Hood's wolf in the drawing room, and see Rapunzel's golden braid cascading from a tower. Outside, children can enjoy the Neverland play area. A fairy tale Christmas at the Vine is open from November the 22nd to January the 5th. Our park will be decorated with glamorous Christmas trees and presents lit by fairy lights and sparkling chandeliers from December the 7th to the 24th. The dining will be transformed into a festive feast scene. Winchester City Mill will be filled with festive cheer, with garlands and presents decorating the space. The Christmas tree will be adorned with bright bows, baubles and strings of gingerbread characters in tribute to the mill's flower-producing heritage. The cafe will offer a new festive menu, including spiced cake with toffee sauce. A gingerbread Christmas at Winchester City Mill runs from November the 20th to January the 4th. Richard Gradinsky, Experiences Curator at the National Trust, said, "This year, we're offering visitors a truly special Christmas experience. From the charm of fairy tales and Christmas pantomimes in our great houses, to imaginative trails, storytelling, and fabulous photo moments, National Trust places around Hampshire are full of warmth, creativity, and magic this winter. Pre-booking is required for some of the events. For more information and to book tickets, visit the National Trust website."
Thousands of crocuses planted to mark World Polio Day. Rotary members in Winchester, alongside MP Danny Chambers, have planted almost 4,000 crocus corns. The planting around King Alfred Dunn statue and parts of Abbey Gardens was part of the global effort to mark World Polio Day. The purple blooms symbolise the fight against polio, as the colour represents the ink used to mark vaccinated children. Dr. Chambers took part in the event on Saturday, October the 25th. Dr. Chambers is a veterinary surgeon and who also has worked on infectious disease and infectious disease control and rabies prevention. Winchester Rotarian Jill Russell is a polio survivor and said, "It's vital that polio is eradicated. As long as there are cases anywhere in the world, the threat remains." The Great Britain and Ireland and many children contribute to this cause by planting ruby giant crocuses corns. The flowers aim to raise funds and awareness for the End Polio Now campaign. In developing countries, millions of children are vaccinated in many polio vaccination centres.
A banging time at fireworks. There were smiles and fireworks throughout this year's Winchester Bonfire. The annual event took place on Saturday, November the 8th, with the traditional torchlight procession travelling through Winchester High Street to the bonfire site at River Park Recreation Ground. Hundreds of people were enjoying the event, which has been running since it was started by Winchester Round Table in 1958. The Mayor of Winchester, Councillor Sudhakar Akbel, gave a short speech before the bonfire was lit. He said, "It is wonderful to see so many of you here tonight, gathered together to celebrate one of Winchester's most loved traditions. I believe this is 67 years old. There is nothing quite like this event to bring our community together. Family, friends and neighbours all sharing in the excitement and the magic of the evening."
service marks opening of Garden of Remembrance. The 2025 Garden of Remembrance was opened with a special service at Winchester Cathedral. The garden, a small fenced area close to the statue of the King's Royal Rifle Corps soldier in the grounds of Winchester Cathedral, is a place for anyone to leave a poppy cross in memory of their loved ones. Councillor Sudhakar Ashwell, the Mayor of Winchester, joined representatives of the Royal British Legion at the service on Tuesday, November the 4th. Councillor Ashwell said, "I would like to extend my sincere thanks to RBL Winchester Women's Chair Sue Butcher, her husband John Butcher, and to RBL Winchester Men's Chair Chris George for inviting me to join this deeply moving and dignified occasion. We stood together, veterans, their families, and members of our community, to honour those who have served and sacrificed. Canon Marion de Quitt led a touching service that reminded us of the courage and devotion of soldiers and civilians alike. I would also like to extend my thanks to Sue, John and Chris for the many hours they spent decorating the railings outside Abbey House and Winchester Cathedral with such care and respect. Chris is the local Poppy Appeal Coordinator, and I wish him every success in his continued work, which does so much to support veterans and their families. Their collective dedication helps to keep the spirit of remembrance alive in Winchester." Sue Butcher added, "This service has been taking place for over 20 years, and it means so much to people. They can place a cross and remember their loved one. We were honoured to be joined by veterans for this service, and we're so deeply honoured to continue this marking of remembrance for Winchester." The Mayor of Winchester, Councillor Sudhakar Ashwell, joined the Royal British Legion on the steps of Winchester Guildhall on Tuesday, November the 11th at 11 a.m. to mark Armistice Day and observed a 2-minute silence. The Mayor also attended the Remembrance Sunday service in Winchester Cathedral on Sunday, November the 9th. Acts of remembrance also take place throughout the district, including Bishops Waltham, Alresford and Denmead.
Fears that a village post office could close. A Hampshire post office could be under threat as a result of government plans. The Barton Stacey post office, run by husband and wife team Kevin and Lisa May, could face serious issues under proposals outlined in a government green paper. The green paper is in relation to the future of post offices, and it outlines the government's vision and objectives for them over the next 5 to 10 years. The postmaster of Barton Stacey Post Office, Kevin May, said, "I took the time to read the green paper, and it's quite a lengthy document, but I didn't get too far into it until I got a big shock, actually. The government is suggesting that Post Office Limited close down the outreaches, including my mobile post office, which provides a wage with it, so it helps us bring in more revenue. Essentially, what the government have said is they support the urban post office. Now, Kevin's mobile post office serves villages for up to 12 hours per week at the moment, and a variety of locations offering postal and basic banking services to all the residents. He believes that the service is vital for those who rely on face-to-face transactions and are unable to get around by themselves due to age or other infirmities. He said, "We might not see hundreds of people everywhere we go, although we might see hundreds through the year to a heart call of people in these villages. They can't get out and they want to be able to do their banking. They no longer drive. They wait until we come to them, to their villages, and they can make their own transactions. So, if we weren't there, then they are losing a huge part of themselves. Half the time, we're the only retail establishment in the villages, so we are very important in the community with this service. In addition to the mobile service, he runs the village shop and post office in Barton Stacey full time. Along with 13 villages, his own Barton Stacey would suffer from the closure of the post office. He said, "This place has been here for around 200 years, through all sorts of crises and wars, and when trouble comes, you need somewhere that is reliable and where they can get their essential services. It's not just buying stamps, it's being able to pay the bills over the post office counter. You know, they pay their accounts for tax, and it's the social aspect, being part of the hub. Being part of the hub in the village, it's the only place that some people can go. And if we're gone forever, because no one will ever open a post office here again."
Centre named South's Best at Leisure Awards. A leisure centre has been named the best in the South at an awards ceremony. Winchester Sports and Leisure Park took home the title of Regional Public Club Centre of the Year, South, at the UK Active Awards held at the International Convention Centre in Birmingham. Operated by Everyone Active in partnership with Winchester City Council, the centre was recognised for its commitment to excellence and innovation in promoting physical activity and well-being. Alison Lewis, Area Contract Manager at Everyone Active, said, "It's a huge honour to win at the UK Active Awards, and this reflects the hard work and dedication the site team has put in over the past year. Led by the General Manager, Nigel Ashton, they have done a fantastic job. We are so proud to support the physical and mental health of the local community, and would like to thank all of our customers and partners for their ongoing support. The facility offers a wide range of amenities, including a 50-metre 8-lane swimming pool, 20-metre teaching pool, hydrotherapy pool, 200-station fitness suite, climbing walls, group exercise studios, and an 8-court sports hall." Councillor Kathleen Becker, Winchester City Council's Cabinet Member for Health Communities, said, "We send huge congratulations to the whole team at Winchester Sport and Leisure Park on this fantastic achievement. So much good work goes on all year round in the venue to make the most of its outstanding facilities. I'm thrilled that all that it offers to the local community and beyond has been recognised by UK Active." In addition to its award win, the centre has also launched a new initiative to improve accessibility. Earlier this month, it introduced symbol-friendly communication boards in partnership with Widget. These boards use widget symbols to support learning and communication, making it easier for individuals with learning disabilities, autism, neurodivergence, or communication difficulties to navigate the centre and participate in activities. Winchester is the first Everyone Active site to implement the scheme, which supports the company's goal of creating more inclusive environments. The UK Active Awards celebrate the best of the physical activity sector and are designed to recognise excellence and innovation across health, well-being and fitness. The UK Active Awards received a record number of entries in 2025, highlighting the achievements of those who won each category.
Counties police in a national crackdown. A huge operation across the country with involvement from Hampshire saw 111 arrests and 100 vehicles seized, with more than £12,348 confiscated by police. Officers in Hampshire made 12 arrests and stopped more than 50 vehicles as part of an operation targeting high-harm offenders on the transport network. The three-day operation from Tuesday, October the 21st to Thursday, October the 23rd saw Hampshire and the Isle of Wight Constabulary join work with 9 other forces to patrol main arterial routes in the north of the county. The coordinated activity saw forces work together to target those criminals who operate on or across force boundaries to avoid detection. In Hampshire, the operation led to 12 arrests, 12 vehicle seizures, more than 50 vehicle stops, more than 20 traffic tickets issued, and the seizure of drugs and a knuckle duster. Officers from a number of teams took part, including the Roads Policing Unit, the Neighbourhood Enforcement Team, the County Watch Task Force, and the Dog Unit. The force also received support in the air from the National Police Air Service's fixed wing aircraft. Among the arrests made in Hampshire, 6 were related to driving unfit through drink or drugs, 1 was in relation to possession of drugs with intent to supply, and another was in relation to possession of an offensive weapon. Detective Chief Inspector Dal Andrews, Northern Proactive CID lead, said this was a successful operation involving scores of our own officers as well as those from other forces. We border a number of other force areas in the northeast of the county. There are criminals who seem to think they can avoid detection by committing crime in one county before travelling back to another. We have never tolerated this, and we will continue to look at opportunities to proactively disrupt their criminality and bring offenders to justice.
Milestone to be unveiled. A special milestone marking the St James's Way will be unveiled in Winchester this month. The granite milestone, which will be at St Bartholomew's Church, Hyde, will be inaugurated at 10:30 a.m. on Thursday, November the 20th. The event will be attended by a delegation from the Galician government and a Corona Provincial Council. The St James's Way is a waymarked modern-day Camino in the south of England. The route was devised by members of the Confraternity of St James to follow the probable route taken in the medieval pilgrims to Santiago de Compostela, and it started from Reading Abbey.
Accolade for improving patient safety. A hospital trust has been recognised for its work improving patient safety. Hampshire Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust's Fundamentals of Care team won the Continence Care and Promotion category at the Nursing Times Awards 2025. The team, made up of specialist nurses and practitioners, was commended for its efforts to improve patient safety through better continence management, a key part of its wider work in falls prevention and pressure ulcer prevention. Katie Mashingades, nurse consultant for continence at Hampshire Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust, said, "We are incredibly proud to receive this award, which highlights the hard work and commitment of everyone in the team as well as the support we've received from our partners in primary and secondary care. The improvements have ultimately helped deliver safer patient care and improved outcomes, and we're excited to build on this success to further improve our services.
Timetable revealed for road diversion. A developer has laid out the key dates for completing a major diversion scheme. Andover Road is set to be closed to through traffic, with the route switched to Winchester Avenue via the new Kings Barton estate. Carla Holmes released a roads implementation plan at the Kings Barton Forum on November the 3rd. It set out the construction and completion dates for Winchester Avenue and Andover Road. According to the plan, construction of Winchester Avenue will take place until July 2026. At that point, it will be subjected to safety audits for at least 6 months before outside traffic diverted off Andover Road is allowed onto the road. Construction of the Harestock Lane junction on Andover Road is scheduled to begin in January 2027. The Stony Lane junction works are expected to start in November, while works on the middle section of the road will start in July 2028, with completion expected in 2029. Rupert Woodcock, head of technical at Carla Holmes, said the developers, contractors and consultants have been working with Hampshire County Council to produce the plan to give the most accurate understanding of timings. Addressing the safety audits in 2026, he added, "It is down to a series of elements we have to work through with Hampshire County Council. So we will not be allowed to start running diverted traffic off the Andover Road until the road safety audits are complete." Winchester City Council leader Councillor Martin Todd queried whether the monitoring process would assess the impacts on nearby roads, including Priors Dean Road and Periwinkle Avenue. Mr. Els explained that it would fall within Hampshire County Council's remit. The next Kings Barton Forum is scheduled for March the 2nd at 6 p.m.
Helping older people this Christmas. A charity launching a campaign to help older people this winter. Age Concern Hampshire's annual Christmas campaign, Past, Present and Future, aims to support older people facing challenges during the colder months. The campaign highlights three significant issues impacting later life, winter pressures, falls, and isolation and loneliness. The charity aims to raise awareness and funds to attract volunteers to continue providing essential services across the county. To tackle winter pressures, Age Concern Hampshire helps residents access essential financial support and helps with form filling through its information services. Ensured older people get help they need and need to stay safe and healthy. Fall prevention is addressed through the charity's care and well-being centres and foot care clinics. The campaign also addresses the issues of isolation and loneliness during the festive season, with support available at the care and well-being centres and through the help of Help the Home service. Brogan Redhill, head of fundraising and volunteer services, said, "Winter can bring unique challenges for older people, from managing health and safety to staying socially connected."
Review into creating new parish council. Winchester City Council is launching a review into forming a new parish council. This new council would cover the current unparished area of Winchester. The City Council has created a questionnaire on the creation of the new parish council, which can be found on its website. A post on the Winchester City Council Facebook page says, "Do you live in or nearby the current unparished area of Winchester? Would you support the creation of a new parish council for the Winchester town area? And if so, which area it should cover? Let us know what you think. All the information you need, including a link to our questionnaire, can be found on our website." The City Council will also be holding 4 drop-in events for residents to ask questions and speak to the project team. The first drop-in session was on Wednesday, November the 12th at Winchester Guildhall. The second will be at Badger Farm Community Centre from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Tuesday, November the 18th. The third will be at the Community Lounge at Henry Beaufort School on Wednesday, November the 26th from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. And the last one will be at Winchester Guildhall on Saturday, November the 29th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Choirs, carols from different countries. A special Christmas carol service celebrating diverse tradition is set to be performed by a local Winchester choir. Winchester City Festival Choir will be singing a variety of popular and lesser-known carols near the Christmas tree on Winchester High Street on Saturday, December the 6th at 3 p.m. The choir, made up of around 50 members, was founded in 1923 and has a rich history of amateur chorists. Now the group meet every Wednesday evening at Wesley Church Week. Barbara Herfling, 51, music director of Winchester City Festival Choir, said, "When I first met them, I thought they were the most friendly group of people. They really are wonderful. I want to give people 2 hours on a Wednesday evening to sing beautiful music and create bliss. It's a centre point and livelihood for many people, and just a good chance to meet others." The Carols Around the Tree was created with the intention of celebrating diversity. There are so many Christmas traditions and carols from other cultures that most people don't even know, and they are so beautiful. It will be a mixture of carols from different countries, as well as England, like Poland, Germany and France, because I think many of us miss out on gorgeous music. "We have so much cultural wealth, and it needs to be celebrated. I want people to walk past and say, 'I know that song.'"
And this is a Remembrance Sunday at Winchester Cathedral, honouring all who fell. Hundreds of people gathered to remember those who've given their lives in service on Remembrance Sunday in Winchester. The annual commemoration took place on Sunday, November the 9th, at Winchester Cathedral. The service was led by the Reverend Canon Dr. Roland Ream, interim dean at the cathedral, with the Right Reverend Philip Mount Stephen, Bishop of Winchester, delivering a sermon welcoming guests to the cathedral. The service's first lesson, Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 to 5, was read by the Reverend Josepha Marara, chaplain to the forces, while Mr. Wheel read the second lesson, from Mark chapter 13, verses 1 to 8. Bishop Mount Stephen addressed the second reading in his sermon. Following the service, attendees proceeded to the war memorial in the cathedral grounds. Wreaths were then laid by Mr. Wheel, the Mayor of Winchester, representatives of the Royal British Legion and the Armed Forces, as well as many other organisations.
Repair Cafe reaches sustainable milestone. A repair cafe that helps tackle waste and emissions has celebrated its first anniversary. The South Wanston Repair Cafe marked the milestone by welcoming residents to a session at the South Wanston Pavilion on Saturday, October the 25th, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Set up by South Wanston Sustainability, a community climate action group, the cafe is supported by South Wanston Parish Council, the Winchester Repair Cafe, and Winchester Action on the Climate Crisis, WINAC. John Cooper from the Repair Cafe said, "It's been so worthwhile getting to know a talented team of repairers and volunteers who enjoy coming together at the cafes, completing some of the repairs as a real team effort. They are ready to tackle most items that come our way, and we've been delighted to have the expertise of South Wanston WI providing drinks and cakes for the cafe. From laptops and toy Daleks to walking socks and ball gowns, it's been a pleasure to work together and help South Wanston reduce its carbon footprint by saving household items from the bin. We're very grateful to South Wanston Parish Council for backing the project and to Winchester Action on the Climate Crisis and Repair Cafe Winchester for their support. Part of the Hampshire Repair Cafe network, the project has saved 176 kilograms of waste in its first year alone. It has also prevented an estimated 1,226 kilograms of CO2 equivalent emissions, sharing mending skills with village residents in the process. The team of volunteer fixers, experienced in working with portable electricals, electronics, textiles and general repairs, aim to reduce the number of household items being thrown away."
Market celebrates 45 years serving town. A country market is celebrating after 45 years serving the community. Alsford County Market, which operates out of the Alsford Community Centre on Broad Street every Thursday, celebrated the milestone on Thursday, November the 6th. Jane Wallace was one of the stall holders celebrating, having had a stall at the first market. She said it was great fun starting it. "It's 45 years to the day. Our first market was on November the 6th, 1980. When asked about how the stallholders were celebrating the market's anniversary, Jane said that they were passing around the chocolates, adding, "It's a very quiet celebration today. We're just marking the day." Jeff Pilliner, marketing manager, said, "After 45 years of serving Alsford, we are still going. We produce high-quality food, treats, crafts and plants. We're still serving our community." Nick Sawyer, market chairman, said, "It is a community. We're trying to serve the people of Alsford. We are here every Thursday with a wide range of things. What we are desperate for is for more people to produce goods. Those who wish to help out or sell at the market are asked to speak to the stallholders in person. The market is in Alsford each Thursday with the occasional special event. The next event it is holding is a Christmas market on Saturday, November the 29th at the Community Centre. Running from 9:30 to 3 p.m, there will be a range of festive bakes, preserves and crafts on offer."
That concludes our extracts for this week. Our thanks to our editors for selecting the extracts this week, to the copying, dispatch and memory stick preparation teams, and to our readers today, who were Tony Bergstrom.
Goodbye.
John Richards.
Goodbye.
And Jane Rutter.
Goodbye.
And from me, John Parker, goodbye too. Please return the memory stick as soon as you're able, not forgetting to put your address label inside the envelope. And a reminder that you can also hear Winchester Talking Newspaper on AWAS Community Radio 99.8 FM and digital on Saturdays at 5 p.m.